Goal of the message, go tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Can we see the picture here? And this weekend, as I said, is Global Outreach Day. So I wish to remind all of us today of a very important doctrines, teaching, command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know why. This is something that I have puzzled with, because as those of you who know me know that evangelism is important to me. And has always been mission and evangelism. But I wonder why, in general, in the church, Christians have succeeded to minimize the importance of evangelism, or to justify ourselves, to set it aside, or to ignore it as it's almost not there, or not essential, or not important, because we are not practicing it. I think some of us in this room here, maybe if you would ask yourself, when is it the last time that you willingly, intentionally left your house in the morning and were looking for opportunities to share the gospel to someone? Or how long is it since you really talk your faith with some colleague at work or some friends? When is it? And you might be very surprised to realize, wow, I didn't realize it, but it's been a while. And it is, you know, last week we were listening to the principle of first. Remember the important message, God's first in our money and everything. And we accept certain things as important that we will put it first in our priority before God. But one of probably the greatest priority that should be number one on the list, it's not there. It's somewhere else. It has not been put first in our life. So I want to refresh us this morning, because I believe sincerely that this is important. And please encourage me this morning in saying, yes, it is important. You're right. Yes. Yes. So go tell others the hope of the good news. So I just go over many scriptures. I'm not going to say anything new that you don't know this morning. It's very simple. As simple as I can put it, and we're going to talk about the good news this morning. Amen? And be encouraged to talk to someone about the good news in your own way. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, Paul says, I want to make clear to you the message of the gospel that I preach, the gospel that I preach to you, and by which you are saved. Christ died for your sin, according to scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the good news that I preach. Simple message. Can you say that with me this morning? Christ died for my sin, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. Can we say that?
Christ died for my sins.
He was buried, and he was raised on the third day. That is simple. If you can see that, you can evangelize, okay? So you don't need a theological degree. You already passed, okay? You graduated as an evangelist, okay? Praise the Lord. Number two, here, there were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene among them who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks too, proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus. So I want to pay some attention, simple things to you this morning. They speak, they tell. That word here is really to tell, speak. They're not preaching, they are not doing theology, they are not teaching, they are speaking. They are discussing with Hellenists, the Hellenists in the Bible, it says. And they are telling them of the good news. They are having a conversation. And if you see in this text here, you see a cross-cultural movement here. It's really cross-cultural exchange. And that's the purpose of the Global Mission Expo that our brother Chuck Chung talked to us this morning. Cross-cultural. Because, you know, the verse before, this is verse 20, but verse 19 says, those who had been scattered after the persecution of Stephen were speaking the message to no one but Jews. They were speaking to no one but Jews until now. And then some men from Cyrene and Cyprus, they go to non-Jewish people and they start a conversation and they are telling them about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to tell them to evangelize. Actually, this expression here, proclaiming the good news, it's one word in the Greek New Testament is evangelizing. They have been evangelizing, which means if you break the verb into different group Greek words or the roots of the Greek over there is to announce, tell, proclaim a good message. That's exactly what evangelizing means. You are telling the good message of Jesus Christ. So that is what they are doing. These men are actually modern heroes in their time. They are modern heroes. They began actually the first mission to the Gentiles. They are the one who began to do something that had never been done before. Go outside of your language group. Go outside of your culture and talk to someone. So if we go to the next one, verse 15, we are proclaiming the good news to you so that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them. Same thing here, evangelizing. That's the word, is the verb here. We are evangelizing, bringing a message, the good message to you. And so that's when they went and two people wanted to offer animals and sacrifice to them. And says, we are men like you. Don't do that to us. We are here to evangelize. We are here to tell you the good message. And then that's what happened then. And we see the purpose of the proclamation of the good news here so that you will be turning from these worthless things. These people were pagan. They were idolaters. And we know that when you pray to an idol, it's going to be worthless. It's going to be empty. The idol is not going to answer your prayers. But how many people are still doing that, practicing that in this in our modern world today, here in Hong Kong especially? So that you should turn from the useless things. These were strong words from Paul. Paul is preaching to a pagan audience as well. So he's not speaking to Jewish people. So he's not quoting the Old Testament. He's not going to make it a complicated theological discourse to them like he tried in other places. He's just telling them about the good message, starting with God, the Creator. And you remember when we had these teaching, the good wish, one wish. I pulled out my bracelets, my evangelism bracelets, the five colors over there, and the 4 points over there, so to refresh everybody. And the first point is we start with God, the good plan of God, okay? The good plan of God, heaven. Heaven is free, the good plan of God, the wish that God has for us. And then we have a problem, we messed up, we have sin, and then Jesus, you know, and everything. So Paul does exactly that with them. He starts with the good plan of God. God created this world for you, the harvest, and the food, and the sky, and the rain, you know, and everything. He began by telling them about the Creator. Then we move on. Then we go to brothers. You know that in the early days, God made a choice among us that by my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the message of the gospel and believe. I want to bring your attention to by my mouth. Because many times Christians think that people will get saved silently. Just look at me, you will be saved. I'm a Christian, I go to church, you will be saved. I'm not telling you anything about faith, I'm not debating, I'm not explaining to you Jesus Christ. You will be saved just by looking at me, my testimony. Of course, it's important testimony, and we will see it later on. But Paul makes a point, by my mouth, God chose me, so that by my mouth, they will hear. And the word that he uses, that they will hear the Logos. They will hear the Logos of the good news. The word, the declaration, the same word in John chapter 1. At the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was God. It's the same, the declaration of God, the expression of God. So the message of God, that is very important. When did you have a conversation with someone, with your mouth, explaining something spiritual, with sharing that God has done something for you, what you were before, the joy of salvation that you have, the transformation in your life, how he has transformed you? By my mouth. Can we say that this morning? By my mouth. You know, we converse all day long. You know, we start in the morning, we take a coffee, there's somebody with you in the kitchen that's sitting at the table, you have conversation. You go on the train, you go to work, you have conversations. We have simple conversation every day. Why not use conversation time and make it by my mouth here, the logos of the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you think it makes sense? Because it is necessary that they will hear the logos so that they can understand the message, that they can understand what sin is, the separation with God, that they can see the hope that they have with Jesus, how much God loves them, and what are the steps that they should believe, and through believing have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you say amen this morning. For I am not ashamed of this good news of Jesus Christ. Why? It is the power of God. It's the power of God. It's not you. It's not about how well you speak and all this. Paul said it very clearly at the beginning. The gospel I preached is very simple. Christ died, Christ rose again, and that's basically the message, and then applied to our lives. What is the significance of that and to our life? But he says it's the power of God. I cannot explain it. But when you will speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done on the cross and his resurrection to someone, something happened. I don't know how it happened. I cannot explain it. There is a power. You remember the time when this lady, she had the issue of blood for 12 years. If I can touch him, I will be healed. And when she touched him, Jesus knew a power came out. That's the same type of power. You see it. You see the logos of the good news. There will be a power. It doesn't mean the person will fall flat under conviction right now. But there would be a living seed, the living truth. There would be something planted. There would be a contribution so that the person can evolve, at least can hear. Where will they hear the message in a hostile world? Now the world is very hostile to the gospel and to the church. How are they going to hear a positive message if it's not from us? So we are mute. We don't speak. We don't put it in our priorities. How are they going to do? I'm not ashamed of this good news. That is why I came to Hong Kong. That is why I go to different countries. That is why everywhere I go. This week I went to the gym. I met this young Pakistani guy. I went to him. I shook his hand, introduced myself, and I told him something about my faith. We have to do this. We have to want to do it, think about doing this and all of these. Saving everyone who believes. All they have to do is believe in whatever you say. It should not be so hard. Just a conversation, taking a coffee or talking with someone. And then the next one, Galatians. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach is not from human origin. This is important. Do you realize that, you know, sometimes we think that we're going to evangelize, going to be like argumentative with them, argumenting, and it always come from my mind, and how much I know, I don't know enough. It's not from my mind. It's not made up. It's not some sorts of religion that we promote made by men. We're not telling people to follow the pastors, to go something else. The message of the gospel, the logos of the good news, is not from human origin. It comes from divine origin. So let me ask you these questions. How does it impact you this morning to realize or to be reminded that the logos of the gospel is not from divine, is not from human origin, but it is from divine origin? Does it encourage you? You know? All right. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 12, 2, 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. Acts 8. When Philip proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and about the name of Jesus the Messiah, men and women believed and were baptized. Why is it that when you hear the word evangelizing or going out, talking to someone, immediately there's a dark cloud of fear or doubts that tells you it won't work? Why is it that we think like that when we have the greatest message about the greatest life transforming, about eternal life, about the salvation of sin? About why do we block ourselves? Why do we accept the lie of the enemy that it won't work? It says Paul went to Troas, and when he reached there, there was a door of opportunities. And who made that door open? By the Lord. Can we believe that? In Acts chapter, Mark, when they went out, the Lord was working with them. He was going out with them. You go in His name. You share His message. He is doing something for you. He will open. You know, my experience, very, very seldom I'm asked, the door will close. If I have a conversation, if I have a good conversation with someone, if the person knows me, if I have established some sorts of a friendship and a trust in someone, very seldom the door will close, because people are interested. I will explain why I believe, what Jesus has done, what kind of life I had before. They will see the transformation. They will see my enthusiasm. They will understand that it makes sense to me. I may make a taxi driver or anybody. He just says, okay, let me tell you why I believe. I don't believe because it's a religion. I believe because. And then I go back to my past and I explain. Nobody shut me out. No, he says the door was opened to me by the Lord. And when Philip proclaimed the good news of the name, men and women believed and were baptized. You know, people liked a good story. If you tell them something joyful, how, why, what's the reason of your joy and everything, people will listen. And they may need a good listener. And your testimony, the character of your life, should help. You know, when you share the good news, always expect good result. Reject that thought that it won't work, that the door will not open. Reject that, because it's a lie of the enemy. If you pray, the Lord will do something and it will work out. Amen? Amen. Please say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay, we need something also when we evangelize. Our gospel did not come to you merely in words, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. We need that. We need that. Because the message itself, we just said before, it's not from divine, from human origin. It's from divine origin. So we go with prayed up. We have prayed. We are intentional. We know what we're doing. And with deep conviction. That's very important. How can I speak of something with enthusiasm, with boldness, if I don't have in deep in myself deep conviction? The message of the gospel, is it true or not? Is it a message that is worth? Is that a command from the Lord? Is that a great commission that the Lord told us to do? Is it important? Is it something we should prioritize and put first? If the answers to all of these questions are yes, then there should be a deep conviction about its the importance, what it will accomplish. And then if you look a bit from the parenthesis, which is part of the scriptures, the Bible version added like that, surely you recall the character we displayed when we came among you to help. So there's a combination here. Of course, as we said before, my mouth, so that they will hear, is essential. Number two, the power of the Holy Spirit and conviction. And then you see my character. I'm trustworthy. We have established a friendship. You know you can trust me. So the person who know you know that they can listen to you. What you're telling them is true. So we see different things that we need to evangelize. Amen.
Amen.
Let's move on because of time. And they were proclaiming the good news in that city. They discipled a large number of people. And every day, both in the temple courts and from house to house, did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Christ. Where there is evangelism going on, whether in the church or in the life of someone, there will be growth. Remember when we had the financial consultation meeting, Sister Amy stood up and says, "We need to evangelize. That's the solution." And she is right on. And this is exactly that. We want the church to function well. We need to evangelize. Where is our evangelism team? What are we doing? The second text, he says, every day, both in the temple, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news. Proclaiming the good news, again, I repeat it again, is evangelizing. They didn't stop evangelizing, telling the good message of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. Every day, they did not stop. Why have you stopped? If they didn't stop, why have we stopped? Amen? Hallelujah. What should people expect to receive through the good news? When you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He called you to this salvation through our gospel, or the good news, so that you may possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a few things very important here. Pay attention to first expression, the message of truth, the logos of truth, the word of truth. It's the logos of truth. When you heard the logos of truth, which is in fact the good news of your soteria, your experience of being delivered, rescued, and saved. This is your personal experience. And when you believed in him, you received the Holy Spirit, which is the first deposit, the guarantee that you're going to inherit eternal life. You're going to be with the Lord. He called you to this salvation. Second Thessalonians 2:14. But in verse 13, there's something that we need to balance with. We ought to thank God because he chose us for salvation, because he loves us. Dearly beloved, he agape us. It's an unconditional love. That's the word that he used. And he called, verse 14, he called you to this salvation, to which he called us, through our good news, through the message of the gospel, that you may possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal. In Paul's mind, why should we evangelize? Why should we believe the good news? Because it's glorification. This is where we're going. We're not staying here. We're moving. We are stranger, aliens. We don't belong here. It doesn't matter if you build mansions in this world, how much money you will have in your bank account. It doesn't matter. We're not staying here. We're moving. We're going somewhere else. We're going into eternity. We all are going to die. And that says, he called you to this salvation experience through our gospel so that you may possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is absolutely wonderful to just keep that in our mind. And when you feel weak and discouraged, remember that. This is my destination. This is where I'm going. Always remember that. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I think we're going to run out of time. Well, Pastor Jennifer was not here. I need to show her all my bracelets that I brought this morning. I'm really an evangelistic mode.
You are really cute, Pastor Ray.
Yes, cute, yes. And I can explain to you everything here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Your faith and love, your motivation, the way you live your Christian life, your enthusiasm, your excitement comes or grow from the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard about through the word, again, the logos of the truth, the good news. That is where we learn what we own, what has been promised to us, what has been reserved for us in eternity. It's wonderful. Please say it's wonderful. It is wonderful. You know, you cannot improve on the Word of God. We can preach deep theology, but when you go back to the simplest reminding of the good news that we have received, that is the most uplifting message we can have. Amen? Which you have heard about through the Logos of the truth, the gospel. And that becomes our motivation. And it shows us the importance of hearing what we have in heaven. How will people turn to God in an hostile environment against the gospel if they don't know what Jesus Christ has done for them, how much he loves them, and what is reserved for them in heaven if they believe in Jesus Christ? And it talks about the confident hope of what we have in heaven. You and I, by the gospel message, we know that we have a future. We know that we have what is our destination. We know that our salvation is sure. When you find yourself doubting, when you find yourself tired of being Christians and you're, you know, wavering in faith and love, remember what you have in heaven and what is there. You know, it's wonderful to realize all of these things. And verse 6, which is one of my favorite verse, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. This is really exciting to go on a mission trip or to do local mission or a global mission. Every time you will be refreshed. Every time you will be challenged. Every time you will be reminded of this wonderful, the same good news that came to you. That came to you, if, whether you were in the Philippines or in Canada or in America, England or whatever it is, or Germany, wherever you were when the gospel came to you. It's the same message. It is going all over the world. And I was thinking of that verse when I'm thinking about Global Outreach Day. As I said before, I received so many, many messages yesterday and testimonies. Some of them did not, it was difficult for me to know where they were from. Many from Africa, many countries, and many from South America and Central America. It seems that they were dominated. But many from Russia also, which is very, very encouraging and surprising for me. So let's take a pause here from this message, and let's watch a little video of some photos from Global Outreach Day 2 to just make you travel and see how this good news is traveling all over the world and it's making progress. I think you will be encouraged by that.
See revival rising, I see hope on the horizon as a generation stepping out in faith. Because we will be a people on our knees as one before the King, 'cause we believe. Hey! All the world starts changing when the church starts praying.
Praise God. I was really uplifted to receive all of this yesterday. I slept very late because I received so many of them. So let's go back to our the same verse that we were. Yeah, verse 6 over there, and we will finish. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives, my life, from the day you first heard and understood. You see, again, we're going back to the same thing. Heard is important. You heard. You understand. Somebody talked to you. Somebody came to you, or they communicated the message to you, understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. I've been to Bangladesh this year, Cambodia, and the Philippines. The same growth, the same fruitfulness, even in hostile environment. Why? You know, in Bangladesh, just after the time we were there, just maybe 2 weeks later, I think I mentioned it one Sunday morning a few weeks ago, one church group that was with us, they had received phone calls of threats, anonymous threats. So it came to the reality. They burned everything. They burned the house, the church, the computers, the clothes, everything, the books, the CDs. They had zero left when they came out of that. But they are still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do people do that? You know, because they know that they have something in heaven reserved for them. And we can see all of that. Paul says the good news came all over the world. That's when he was in prison in Rome. He had come to the big capital city of the Roman Empire. And it's wonderful to realize that this is the same message that you receive, the same good news that you receive that changed your life that we are talking about this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just want to show one picture from the Philippines, just the last one, my trip last weekend when I was not here. I just show you one because it goes with that scripture here today. It's the picture of the baptism. And at the baptism, they were, yeah. This is Cheryl. This is her father-in-law that used to be the persecutor of her. Actually, the wife of this man was the real persecutor. She was awful. So, but she led her to the Lord before she died. Now he's baptized. He's 81-year-old. The older brother of Cheryl, also very strong testimony. Fruit of the VBS this summer, just the VBS just a few weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago. And these two here are the new generation, brand new to the church. This is the grandson of Sister Evelyn that was part of a lighthouse before. These 1, 2, 3 girls are also brand new into the church. The church is full, it's growing, the ministry is going well. Rowena has a big heart filled with love, and people are discovering her.
Tell them about Christy and Christelle's grandfather also. That's a wonderful testimony.
Maybe you tell it better than me.
We were praying for Christy and Christelle's grandfather. The grandmother passed away last year. She was blind. And they had asked Pastor Rowena, would you please go and have a Bible study in our house? But it was a hostile atmosphere. Very hostile. Very hostile. The grandfather would not. He was angry. He wouldn't even come in the house at first. He was so angry that Christian would go there and would talk about Jesus and would preach the gospel. And then over time, as Pastor Rowena kept on going, because here was the grandmother, she couldn't go to church, she was blind, and was she...
21 years.
Sorry?
Blind for 21 years.
Blind for 21 years, and Pastor Rowena was going, and the grandmother opened her heart to the Lord, and they kept on praying, and Pastor Rowena kept going. And then the time came when the grandfather would stay in the house, but he still was so opposed. He was really a persecutor. And then the time came where he would sit in the room next to the living room where Pastor Rowena was preaching the gospel, and he would listen, but he wouldn't come out. And then the time came where he opened his heart and he gave his heart to the Lord. And he passed away last Sunday. And he's in heaven right now.
Yes.
Because of Pastor Rowena's faithfulness to go back, to be faithful, for your faithfulness in giving to support. Praise the Lord.
In closing, do you want to, I don't know how to say that, do you want to make some sorts of a pledge or tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know why I slid away and I never talk about you, this wonderful message, why I don't prioritize and I'm not intentional about sharing the good news, why have I been so passive or something like this? And just ask the Holy Spirit to renew this understanding of the utmost importance. It is the utmost important. People are getting saved. The gospel make progress. The Lord open doors of opportunity for us if we just go and just open our mouth. It is not of human origin. It is divine origin. And God is with us to do that. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believe in him, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit so that you may possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the most wonderful things. It's simple. The message is simple. All it needs you to have a conversation, to just talk to someone about your faith. You know, you converse all day long. You converse about anything, any banal things, about shopping, about purse, about money, about cars, about sports, about, just switch it. Switch. Start with the purse, finish with the purse of glory in heaven. I don't know, the pearl of a big price, or do any switch, but just be intentional to share this wonderful message. Would you please stand? I want to urge you to do something about it. The good news. It is good news that God thought of you. He loved you before you even existed. It is good news that Jesus came to perfectly show us God. It is the good news that we receive the grace of God undeserved. It is a good news that he called us and saved us. It is a good news that he gave us a new and holy life. And it is a good news that he gives us eternal life. And when he came, I have a verse here that says that he broke the power of death and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel message. Lord God, touch our heart today that it will not be a heart of stone or heart that are indifferent, heart that will let this message pass me by. But Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will grip me and help me to understand the importance, my role. This is a commandment that you have given to our church, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, that we will be reaching out to people, not waiting for them, that we will create opportunities, inviting friends, colleagues, for coffee, having conversation, having a meal in our home, sharing our personal story, how we met Jesus, offer to them that we are going to go shopping with them, offering help, and if we have special gifts, that we are going to offer these gifts to help them with our gifts. It's not difficult. We just need willingness. Hallelujah. And this month, Lord, as we are going to have many opportunities to reach out to people in the Global Mission Expo with the Wu Oi team, with the Deer Retreat, and all the other projects that we have, Lord, help us to put you first in the area of evangelizing or telling someone the good news of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, touch our hearts, anoint us. Lord, we repent for our hardening and losing the vision and having put it in the secondary place. Even some of us have forgotten about the importance of this. It is the simple, the basic, the foundation of our Christian life. We have been saved by hearing the good news. And you are commanding us to share that wonderful message that is being shared with enthusiasm all over the world. In Jesus' name, Lord, renew Lighthouse to be a lighthouse in Hong Kong and all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.